Replay by Hannover Re. Expert insights on life and health insurance.
Which areas of innovation hold the most promise for the future of life and health insurance? How to cut through the hype and spot the true value for your product portfolio? And what successful initiatives look like? Welcome to Replay by Hannover Re. I'm your host Susanne Loomis, and today we'll talk to Lisa Balboa about innovation and digital transformation in the life and health insurance industry.
This podcast is for general information only, no professional advice, and is subject to change. You can find the full disclaimer in our show notes.
Welcome to our podcast, Lisa.
Thanks, Susanna. It's great to be here.
Lisa is head of Hannover Re's London-based Life and Health Digital Business Accelerator, and not only does she have a personal passion for adopting health technologies, Lisa has also been at the forefront of thought leadership on this topic from an insurance perspective for the past 10 years. So, Lisa, tell us, what does a head of Life and Health Digital Business Accelerator do? Can you give us a little more insight into what your role entails?
Great question. So with so much exciting progress in technology and medical science, Susanna, in my role, I dive deeper into this to identify those innovations that have the highest potential to positively transform life and health insurance.
And what does innovation mean to you?
To me, innovation is all about solving problems in unique and novel ways. Or put simply, we want something that's both new and useful. So let's take an example. Last time you and I caught up, we were playing shuffleboard with the teams, and it's a fun game that you and I were doing, just sliding a small disc down the table into the scoring zone. Yeah. Super simple, right?
Yeah.
So how could we innovate that? Well, there could be a couple of ways. For example, we could have put a disco ball right above the table. That could be new, could be shiny, but actually not so useful. Maybe the lights would have dazzled you and you wouldn't have been able to see down the table there. But let's think about a way that it could be usefully innovated. So we could have added a digital scoring. So when we got to the end of the round, we wouldn't have had to spend time counting up who got what score. So that would be something that is both new and useful. So a real value-adding innovation.
Got it. Okay, so innovation should lead to products or services that improve the overall experience of the parties involved. And why is this particularly important to the life and health insurance industry?
Well, just like the shuffleboard, the origins of life insurance date back hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. And the core hasn't changed so much. It's still a product that pays out a sum of money on death to a person's family. Even so, innovation is really important here to identify the pain points of the insurers and the customers. Mm-hmm. So let's think about the latest technologies. We could enhance distribution. We could process claims more efficiently as well. So ultimately, innovation helps us to close that protection gap, ensuring life insurance remains a relevant product that reaches the people who need it.
Mm-hmm. And how do you identify that? Are there specific key factors or indicators that you look for when assessing their potential for success?
Absolutely. So whether we're innovating in-house or whether we're partnering up, for example, with insurtechs that complement our core capabilities, our key objective is always to create value for insurers and their customers. So we horizon scan for the latest trends, and we have a well-structured, thorough assessment process at the core of what we do. So we need to explore all aspects from market desirability through to operational feasibility and financial viability. It's all about partnering up to really understand the core of what the insurtech business does, and then look into, for example, the stability of the company and dive into those use cases where they've already proven success so we can scale up those cases that add the most value to insurers and their customers.
Okay, well, that sounds pretty straightforward, but I'm sure it's not that simple. Can you unpack that a little bit for us?
You're so right. Innovation isn't such a simple task. And there's often a lot of hype when it comes to the latest trends. So if you think back a couple of years ago, Metaverse was one of the biggest hypes. Mm-hmm. And we looked into it to see, is there any value for life and health insurers? Is it going to fundamentally disrupt what we do? And what we concluded was that beyond opening up perhaps a new distribution route, we don't see a significant transformative potential for the metaverse when it comes to life and health insurance. Mm-hmm. But if you fast forward to today, AI is now the biggest hype, especially Gen AI is the latest hot topic. So having assessed this in detail, we do see potential for AI to transform not just distribution, but also operational processes like underwriting and claims. So now we've identified that potential, we're focused on designing and implementing projects in partnership with our insurance clients to drive forward this transformation.
So instead of jumping on the hot new thing, you see past the hype and the glitz to make sure that there is a value add to the insurer's overall offering. Lisa, I'd like to go back to the early stages of your career that led you here. You're an actuary and you didn't study mathematics at university. Is this rather unusual?
You're right. I didn't study pure mathematics at university. But despite this, I've always loved maths, and there's always been some element of statistics or quantitative methods shaping what I do, both in my academic studies, in life sciences and business analytics, and now day in and day out in my work as an actuary in a non-traditional actuarial role.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit more about your background and what experiences or influences have shaped your approach to innovation in our industry.
So I started my career in pensions, which was highly valuable to learn robust actuarial principles. And onwards from there, I worked for life and health insurance primary carriers as a pricing actuary. So that helped me to get close to lots of product innovations and see firsthand how new products and propositions can transform the lives of customers at the same time as creating value for the insurer themselves. So then when I joined Hannover Re just over 4 years ago, I was working in our UK business development team as an actuarial manager. So I got lots of exposure to the pain points and daily challenges faced by our insurance clients. And now leading our Life and Health Digital Business Accelerator, I can draw on what I've learned from my academic studies and my past career experiences in my approach to problem solving to help create valuable new insurance solutions.
Mm-hmm. What do you get most excited about in your role?
Oh, that's a tough question because there's lots I love about my role.
Good.
I think what I love most is collaborating with my team members and our colleagues across the globe at Hannover Re to create those solutions that can help insurers and customers to better manage and be protected against risks. Mm-hmm. And really, every day is a new challenge. I find it so interesting to get to know more about the life and health insurance markets around the globe. So each market I visit is different. Every insurer within that market has its own philosophies, its own ways of working. So just to take a topic I'm particularly excited about, it's the progress we've been seeing in digital health data over the past few years. This has evolved drastically since a decade ago when I first started looking into the topic, and I see lots of potential here.
Yeah, what changed?
Yeah, if you think back then, maybe 10 years ago, we were quite limited in terms of the digital health data available for us. I don't know if you had one of those first wearable trackers.
Oh, I did. Yeah, those step trackers. And you would try to hit those 10,000 every day. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, exactly right. So it was really quite limited. We could track steps, but not much else, right? And not that many people had them. So maybe you and I were early adopters, Susanna. But you know, if you looked around, not many people back then had wearable trackers. But of course, nowadays, we have much more advanced ways to measure health digitally through wearables and even through simple smartphone cameras and other health apps as well. And we're also seeing clinical medical data becoming available in a digital format through things like electronic health records in certain markets.
Right.
So I'm particularly excited about how we can use this health data in the insurance context. So all the way from reducing the amount of medical testing we might need at point of underwriting through to helping customers live healthier and longer and supporting claimants to manage their claim and get back to work sooner, for example, on a disability insurance product.
And help us understand, how exactly can these health insights create value? Do you have an example that you can share?
Absolutely. We did an internal staff pilot with a provider to look at the value of medical data for insurers. So the pilot combined health-related lifestyle data, things like physical activity, heart rate, also nutrition, together with blood test data and also predictive genetic data.
Oh, and when you say staff pilot, did you participate as well?
I did, and I found it really valuable, Susanna. So my results showed that I had a higher than average genetic risk for cardiovascular disease.
Oh.
So it was actually only 10% elevated, so I wasn't too panicked initially.
Yeah,
it's not too high. But then when I got my blood test results back in the app, I saw my cholesterol was elevated as well. That was a bit more worrying.
Yeah.
I have a higher genetic risk of cardiovascular disease and also higher cholesterol.
Right.
So for sure, that gave me the encouragement I needed to make a few small lifestyle changes. So I reduced the amount of chocolate and cheese I eat every day. Not so fun, but yeah, important to do these things. And after 4 months, we had another blood test and my cholesterol was back within the normal range. So it did really work being guided by this health data insights that I was getting to make that lifestyle change.
Yeah.
And what's quite nice is this sort of proposition can already be made available to life and health insurers. It's already starting to be in the marketplace today. And I think what's quite critical is often to offer these predictive genetic tests after the policy issue. So can make clear to customers that no data is going to be used for underwriting or pricing. It's really about supporting people to improve their health in the sorts of ways that I did as a pilot participant.
Right. In other words, avoiding discrimination based on genetics.
Precisely. So in many markets, it's prohibited to use genetics for underwriting and pricing. Mm. But beyond underwriting and pricing, insurers can still provide these sorts of services as a core part of their proposition. So it can help them to improve retention rates by engaging customers regularly on the topic of protecting their health, which fundamentally is a reason that people take out insurance, to protect against ill health. So there's a great alignment in this topic, not just for cardiovascular disease, but also for other diseases like cancer and even mental ill health.
Okay, well, that's great insight. Also, adding your personal experience to your professional experience is the perfect setup to look for promising insurtechs, I feel. Although I imagine that personally testing every single product might be a bit tricky, considering there are only 24 hours in a day. So how do you ensure that a solution creates meaningful change when embarking on an innovation project?
Yeah, we do need to be very focused in what we do. So for all the projects that we undertake, we make sure to set predefined measures of success up front. So this avoids hindsight bias when looking back at whether or not the project has been successful.
Yeah.
And we adopt quite an agile approach. So we will deploy the project within certain limits, maybe a few months or a few thousand customers, and then we'll measure that value. And we'll only then put resources into scaling up the projects where those predefined success criteria has been met. I mean, ultimately, it's so easy to fall in love with the solution rather than going back to the problem and seeing how we actually created something to solve that. So this value-driven approach really makes sure we always put front and center the insurer or the customer pain point that we're trying to solve and then measure back to how we've added value to the insurer and their customers.
And is there an element of competitiveness between insurtechs and insurers?
Not necessarily. So there are many insurtechs that focus on providing services to traditional insurers rather than competing against them as what we call full stack carriers. So these traditional insurers can partner up with insurtechs to complement their core capabilities. So it can be quite helpful in terms of transforming their business models through partnerships, rather than needing to build in-house in an area where a traditional insurer may lack deep expertise.
Yeah, good point. Can you tell us more about what a successful initiative would look like?
Sure. So let's take an emerging example. We're seeing innovation in AI being channeled into improving efficiencies. And the key is to do that without sacrificing the underwriting quality of the business. So for example, in the underwriting space, AI is being deployed to identify and fast-track decisions on straightforward cases.
Yeah.
And that then frees up time for the underwriters to dive deeper into the complex cases. And it's valuable because ultimately we're living in an era where we have more data and information than ever before. You think maybe just how much information you've accessed today just through, for example, your smartphone, your laptop. There's much information all around us. So being able to use AI to help process this information in a robust and efficient way can then allow the expert underwriters or the expert claims assessors to identify and spend time on those more complex cases where they can add true value.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And where else in the value chain are you seeing AI being applied?
So we're also seeing a similar sort of trend on the distribution side, with AI enabling a digital-first approach before then handing that customer off to an agent. So, for example, generative AI could be used to tailor communications to real micro-segments of customers and then track which ones appeal and scale up those messages that are most appealing to that particular subgroup.
Right.
So it's all about using analytics to then identify those customers with high intent to buy and smart match those agents that are likely to be really effective at building a rapport and closing the sale with that particular customer and meeting the needs of that customer.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in this area. And I want to add here, to stay up to date, our listeners can follow Hannover Re on LinkedIn, get in touch with their local Hannover Re contacts, or reach out to you directly, Lisa, on LinkedIn, for example. And you were also recently interviewed for our recent Perspectives newsletter, which I will link to in the show notes. Going back to the topic, what are some common barriers to innovation that you've encountered in the industry?
So I think the biggest challenge goes back to what we were mentioning early on, which is making sure the solution is not just new and novel, so not just a disco ball on a shuffleboard table that's going to dazzle people,
right,
but ultimately something that's truly useful and value-adding to all the stakeholders involved in the innovation value chain, including the customers, the insurers, and any insurtech partners as well. So where the solution or the process being innovated is customer-facing, making sure to really spend enough time to understand what are those customer needs and pain points before designing the solution. That's pretty critical. And then once that solution has been designed, really taking time to test and understand the user experience around adoption.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we could have the best solution in the world, but if the customer isn't adopting that solution, then even the theoretically best commercial business model is never going to be realized in terms of adding value to that customer.
Right. And how do you strike a balance between the different customer needs and preferences?
So one thing that's really important is that customers need to have trust in what we're doing as an insurance industry. So taking time to communicate to customers about new solutions and the technology behind it, that's really key. Although that said, some people will always be early adopters. So you and I, we were very early adopters of the wearable technology.
Yeah.
You know, and there'll be some people that will prefer to stick with the more tried and tested methods for their day-to-day to manage, for example, their exercise routine. But ultimately, it's all about identifying which of those customer groups that are going to be the early adopters and seek feedback from them, really honest feedback, to keep improving and then keep being able to roll out and scale up to more customers. So it's that culture of continuous improvement, whether it's an internal innovation on processes or an innovation for the end customer. That culture of measuring success, getting feedback, acting on it and improving will maximize the chance that innovation is going to be successful.
Okay. And I'm curious, if you personally could invent a useful and helpful product or service, what would that look like?
Yeah, on a personal level, I think it could be fun and helpful to create an app where people just take a photograph of their food and get reliable information on the nutritional quality.
Oh, I'd like that.
Yeah,
that would be useful.
Could be really useful. Maybe even allergen advice if it could be accurate as well. You know, we're dreaming big here. and actually, we are starting to see some of the companies entering this space in terms of being able to use the latest AI advances to make this sort of thing a reality as well.
Yeah. What do you think are the most promising areas for insurance innovation currently? Which areas have the most potential?
So I already mentioned around the exciting potentials of technology to drive operational and efficiency improvements. I think there's also a lot of exciting potential in medical science.
Yeah.
For example, precision medicine is opening up more personalized treatments for conditions such as cancer. So product innovations that can provide people with access to the best possible treatment available for them, that's a really exciting opportunity we're starting to see gaining traction in the industry.
And what do you expect from digital transformation for the life and health industry in the near future?
I expect we'll go beyond the hype of AI to tangibly embed this into life and health insurance in a way that delivers value both for insurers and their customers. So things like more personalized customer experiences and smoother processes, they're quite useful guiding north stars we could think about here. At the end of the day, though, life and health insurance, in my view, it's still a people industry. So I expect we'll see that blend of technology into processes in a way that supports people to be more efficient and effective in their work in areas like distribution, underwriting, pricing, and also claims management as well.
And what's your advice for primary insurers to successfully position themselves?
So my advice is to think through who is your target customer and how do you want to stand out to appeal to them? There's such a rapid pace of technology and medical change. So just fall in love with those problems that you're trying to solve with your customers and spend a lot of time designing, testing, and then implementing the solutions rather than going deep on one specific technology or solution too early on and then finding it hasn't delivered the customer value that you hoped for.
Thank you, Lisa. That was very insightful.
Thanks, Susanna.
So today we spoke about the importance of innovation in the life and health insurance industry. We defined innovation as not just being new, but also useful. And we talked about promising developments that have the potential to enhance the customer experience. Thank you for listening to Replay by Hannover Re. We hope you found this conversation helpful. And if you would like to learn more about innovation and digital transformation in life and health, check out Lisa's interview as part of our recent Perspectives newsletter. It's linked in the show notes. Also, don't forget to subscribe for more episodes. Leave us a review if you like what you've heard and stay connected with Hannover Re on LinkedIn. Until next time.
The thoughts, ideas, documents, and other content discussed or shared in this podcast are not intended to constitute any professional advice. Hannover Re and the participants are not liable for any damages resulting from the usage of the content of this podcast. For further information, please see the show notes.